Well, good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Weather. Doing great. My week was okay. Wasn't the best, but nothing wrong with just one of those times where everybody felt like ucky. You just don't know why, but life is still good regardless. Yeah. So, it's a good video. Enjoyed that. Right down to the encouraging words, something that was given in there. And yeah, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day today. Special day to honor our moms. And it's good to see everybody out here, too, as well. Let's just pray before we get started. Father, just be with us today as we look into your word and study it. Father, just open my heart to speak what you have laid upon it, and that they are your words, and for all of us here that we take these words to heart as well and apply them to our lives. And so be with us now in thy name. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin with a poem. All right, it's called A Mother's Lament. I'm just going to give me some second here. Let's put that right there for now. And so it kind of plays in with this little video we watched. It starts off, make the beds, bandage the fingers, straighten up the workshop, wash the windows, cut the grass, see the flowers grow, drive my husband to the field, drive him back again, have the farm hands for lunch, then I clean the den, serve on the committee, attend the church meetings, forget to buy the clamp hose clamps, can't do it today, pay the bills, write a note, fill the cookie jar, oh dear, I forgot to have them service the truck today, catch up on the ironing, scrub the kitchen floor, answer phone and doorbell, and need I list some more, my pet peeve I must admit, and you surely will agree, when someone asks, are you employed? And my husband answers, no, she is not. Did you get that? And guess who wrote the poem? The fellow's name is Carl Kieber. So a fellow wrote the poem. Quite interesting, eh? And for some of us here today, especially moms and grandmas, great-mama, grandmas, we could relate to this video and to that poem as well. For some of us, life has been a real blessing. Some of it's been tough, some of it's been hard. But still, if God is there in your life, it's still a wonderful life that he's given. And life is always mixed with joy and pain and sorrow and rejoicing. They're all mixed together. And as I read that poem, I thought of my mother. She's with the Lord now. She died just prior to COVID shutting us down in 2019. She raised 8 children, 6 boys, 6 sons, and 2 daughters. And I often reflect on my mom, especially at this time, and the qualities that my mom passed on to me. I think of her hard work. My mom never finished high school. She was only 16 when I was born. But she did go on to get a degree in counseling. But she was never idle. She was always busy, not just with the family, but outside as well. Her discipline. My mom was a wicked spoon handler. Slap! Or the spatula, smack. I used to always got those ones, and all of a sudden she'd run up behind and yank the ear. Ever got that one? Or the back of the neck hairs. That was the other one my mom always did too. So I had this little stripe up the backside missing from my mom. I could handle those ones. But it's when my mom said these words, wait till your dad gets home. How many ever had that one? Yes. And I remember those when my dad came home, I knew some terror was in store. And I'd get marched down the basement to my bedroom downstairs, and I'd get disciplined. And my mom would open the top of the stair door, and she yelled down at my dad. She says, you can beat him all you want, but don't kill him. Boy, I tell you, my mom really loved me, hey? And really cared for me. Sends me to my doom, and she actually is caring for me even in that time. Unreal. That was my mom. and her teaching of God's word. I don't know much about her spiritual journey, but I always knew my mom to be a believer, always served the Lord, either spoken or not. She just was, it was just there, it was just part of her life. Her life skills, my mom cooked, did a lot of cooking and baking and stuff like that. My mom made sure that all her six boys could cook, sew, wash, and clean. All right? When we came home and said we're hungry, my mom gave us a map to the fridge. All right? Passed it on to all her boys and to her daughters as well. And then, of course, when her sons got married, she passed on her cooking and all of that type of skills to her daughter-in-laws today as well. So she made many sacrifices. And like I said, for my mom, life was sometimes very joyful, sometimes great sorrow. But the influence upon my life, my mom's life onto me, cannot be measured, really. I adored some of her examples and her attitudes, her life of honesty, life habits, kindness, hard work. My dad even said that. I said, you know, out of all the kids, you're the closest to mom for personality and all of that. Her mom was one of those ladies that said, just be yourself. Never hide behind something. And if other people don't like you, just tell them that's their problem. And that was my mom. Mom was just straight with her words. And I really appreciate her as well. And moms, whether you realize it or not, you owe everything you have to Jesus Christ. Isn't that so true? That's so true. In fact, only in Christianity have women been lifted to true equality. And all, if you study Jesus' ministry, he always had women with him, helping along. In those days, that never was like that. All right. Even today, he goes to places around the world, you find that women are just relegated to the kitchen and gardening and doing cleaning, and that's it. Nothing else. Not even educated or anything. In fact, some of them, the little house dog had more, treated a lot more better. But it was Jesus who elevated women, began to bring them out of all of that to their equal place. And we know the Bible is full of stories about godly mothers who contributed to their children and even the world today to make it a better place. It even helped to advance God's kingdom. And I just want to look at two mothers. One was a grandmother who influenced her daughter and in turn influenced her son. And writing about Timothy, his son in the faith, the Apostle Paul even said, I have no one who's like him, who really cares. Sometimes you wonder, what was it that the Apostle Paul found in Timothy? Or why did he single out him and give him such a compliment? Well, we know that his grandmother had faith, was a believer, his mother was. And it's like for many of us here, we can look back on the generations of our families. Some of us can go back 3-4 generations to our families, find out that they've all served as well, believed in Jesus, had him as Lord and Savior. Some of us only just a generation only. I was looking through some stuff a while back. It was given to me by my parents. My dad actually gave me a box of stuff from my great-grandparents. And as I was going through it, I discovered that in my mom's heritage and background, my forefathers were Baptist ministers in England. Quite a few of them were. Quite interesting. I didn't know that. I thought it was quite interesting to see that. So I wanted us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, read verses 1 through 5. If you got your Bibles or whatever, your iPhones or pads, you can go there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did. As I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. Then go down to chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. It says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus must be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So out of this passage, I want to take out three qualities of mother's faith. Mothers, I know this is your sermon for today, but you know what? Fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and also the young people here today, this message is for you. Someday you're going to get Bambi-eyed for some man, some young man or some young lady, and you're going to take your place and start a journey with children. These words are for you as well, all right? But mostly focused on moms, all right? First quality, a mother's faith is certain. It says in verse 5, the sincere faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And if we were to go back to Acts chapter 16 and begin to look through all of the scriptures and right up to 2 Timothy, these women were really involved in Paul's ministry. In fact, we find they enjoyed a strong faith in God through Jesus Christ. A good example of the nature of certain faith. Notice in verse 15, we find here, it is a faith that is scripturally sound. Both these mothers knew the sacred writings, which are able to give wisdom that leads to what? Salvation. And of course, the sacred writings would have been what in that time? The Old Testament. That's right. In fact, they were available to those that it could afford it. And as you read through this and listen, you'll understand that these scriptures were in their home. So somewhere along the line, they got a hold of them, bought them somehow. They could never have taught Timothy if those sacred writings were not personal to them, or they were not personally equated to them. And there's no doubt they studied them. No doubt they loved the scriptures. And it shows that they had a God-centered faith. And that's how it always is. For God's word says faith comes from what? Hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ. So, scriptures had a profound effect upon grandma and mom. And of course it affected Timothy as well. So, for moms, here's a question. Are you spending time with God in his word? Are you? Or is it very sporadic? Are you developing a deep relationship with God and his word? You're going to need that today in this world. This world is really going downhill. And it's just going to get worse. You know, as a mother, if you do not have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot convey such a relationship to your children. You cannot. Children are far more sensitive to spiritual matters than we are. Children don't merely respond to words and former beliefs. Instead, they watch, they imitate, and they can sense your walk with God. All right? And mothers, if you want your children to know God, you ought to cultivate and develop your own relationship with God. And here are just some things that I think everybody should know, not just moms. There has to be a daily time of studying and reading of God's word. Do you take some time in every day? Do you? How many take time in a day, especially moms, to study God's word? Yeah, there's a few of us to do it, right? Even the fathers put their hands up too. Good. There has to be a daily time of prayer. More than ever, we're going to need prayer for our families in the years to come. And there has to be a daily time of presenting God's word to your children. in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. That's what we're going to turn to now. It says, "The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with what? Are you sure? For some of us, it might be just part of our heart. It's supposed to be all of it. In fact, the heart actually speaks of the mind. All right, I want to just put that out. And with all your what? And with all your might, your strength. These words which I am commanding you today shall be where? On your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them. And when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and there shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So can you see in this passage the teaching opportunities that are mentioned? Can you see them? First of all, we're to teach them diligently. What does that mean? I think of diligently as always talking, always demonstrating, always teaching, constantly, in whatever you do. One thing Kathy used to do with our children was, especially in cooking, she figured out how to do cooking and related to Bible stuff. So she had Bible cakes, you know, desserts and stuff like that, and food, biblically. And it was quite interesting how she did it. And she actually passed it on to some other people as well. And it says we should talk to them. You talk to your children about Christ? About Jesus? What he did for you and for them? For some, it's pretty hard to do. It also says when you sit in your house and when you walk. So when you're sitting, what's your conversation? Is it flavored with Scripture? And when you walk, of course, they walked everywhere that time. Today, we drive vehicles everywhere, right? When you get into your car, what do you do? I've seen, watched it sometimes, shove the kids in the car, strap them in place, drop in the car, drive away, and what's the first thing that gets turned on? The radio. No conversation with the kids. Wouldn't it be better just to shut it off and talk to Jesus about your children, to your children? Young people, you got nephews and nieces. Maybe you can do that as well. All right? When they lie down at night and they rise up in the morning, always on their minds. And they bind them, of course, then they used to tie Scripture to their arm or to their forehead. And then it says, write them on your doorposts of your house or on your gate, like our addresses. I remember in Bible college that one way of learning Scripture is what we had these little place cards. We place them all over the house, everywhere. And our different types of theology we had to learn. And that's about the only way I could learn this stuff because I was in my 40s when I went back to school. So I had all these notes all over the house. So I wasn't the only one that was reading them. Everybody else was as well. So, yes, the influence of a mother upon the lives of her children in her home cannot be underestimated. So we need to spend time to cultivate our own souls, but so that we can cultivate the souls of our children as well and our grandchildren. Also in verse 15, you'll see that it is a faith which is certain. Grandma and Mom taught Timothy sacred scriptures which are able to give salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So a faith that is sure. Apostle Paul said in Acts 16:1 that he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. His mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So introduced to Paul, probably on his second missionary journey. She's a believer. We don't know how, don't know what took place, but something did. And no doubt it came from grandma, from mom, and then down through the line. Her faith was certain, grounded in God's word, and she also had a personal relationship with Jesus as well. Today in our society, what's very sad is, if you look at families today, very dysfunctional. Most families are blended. Divorce rate is very high. In fact, what's really sad is that within the church, it's over 50%. course, we find stories of mothers who really have mistreated their children. They'd rather be out doing what they want instead of at home developing their children. Our homes are in desperate need of Christian mothers, mothers who know Jesus personally and deeply. And when I think about some of this, I think about my mom. The Bible was always there. She was so sure of her faith. It was just living, actually. That's the only way I can say it. It was just living in her life constantly. And I'm just thankful for that. Yes, moms, we need to know Jesus and making sure that our salvation is sure, and that our relationship with our Savior is right on. And I think that nothing is more needed today in our homes than mothers who have a faith that is certain and grounded in God's Word. So, quick question. I'm going to ask it. Mom, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes. Do you? You're all looking at me like, do I have to answer? You should answer. All of you moms should just say yes, amen, or whatever. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Good. I wish it was louder, but that's okay. But make sure your faith is certain. The other quality I find in here, mother's faith is contagious. Go back to 2 Timothy. It says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Continue in these things you have learned. Continue in the things that mom and grandma has passed on to you, and be convinced of them, knowing whom you have learned them. So there's no one who can be more contagious on the deep things of life on a daily basis than a mother who knows Jesus Christ. Now, what does contagious mean? Something that's passed on that you don't know, right? Well, last day before Christmas break, my sister arrived home. She never told nobody that she was at that point where chickenpox are contagious. How many have chickenpox? Well, she came home and didn't tell nobody. Well, it was transmitted to all her brothers and her little sister. What a Christmas that was. But the one I really remember, we were sick as anything. It was just passed on unknowingly. Yes, I know that fathers even have responsibility of leadership. But mothers, your faith should be so contagious, your children are just going to pick it up right away. Especially in the early years of childhood. And faith is contagious by personal education. It says in verse 14, you however continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Scriptures are to play a big part in your lives, in the lives of your family, and in your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Religious education is not a privilege, but the responsibility of every godly home. And I really admire those that have the ability to teach their children homeschool. There they can really teach God's Word. Some of us, we don't have that privilege. But our children must be instructed in God's Word. The Bible is to be the foundation for all of life. Good training is essential, especially in spiritual matters, and to bringing our children to a relationship in Jesus Christ. Feel free to talk about God. Don't be afraid. Allow your children to hear the Scriptures. For some, I know that in some homes, the only time that the kids ever hear the word Jesus is at the dinner table. Thank you, Jesus, for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Or going to bed. That's the only time they ever hear. That's even in Christian homes. In fact, counter the false ideas they get from school, from social media, the music, secular books, and magazines. As all of you know, I drive school bus. And I pick up, yeah, you know, don't you? I see you waving at me once in a while at the corner way up here north here. And what I'm getting at is this. I pick some kids up around 7:20 in the morning. I don't drop them off until home until about 4:45. How many hours have they spent in a secular world, learning that there is no God, they can do what they want, anti-Christian and the whole works. When they come home, they need to hear that there is a God, a living Savior. They need to hear that, and you need to teach them that. Teach them that there is a standard of truth, a standard of right and wrong. And teach them more than anything that Jesus loves them and died for them. Assure them that there is forgiveness and everlasting life for them as well. Remind them that life involves a personal relationship with Jesus, who actually walked upon this earth, who now lives in heaven. So we're to train our children in the way they are to go. Big responsibility. Big responsibility. And of course, faith is contagious by practical demonstration. Verse 14 of chapter 3 says, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Timmy had seen something in the lives of his grandmother and his mom. Not only were they contagious, there's no doubt that they demonstrated the reality of the faith that she passed on to them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says these words, and of course these are to fathers, but they're also to mothers as well. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in God's word. And over in Colossians 3:21, do not aggravate your children. If you do, they'll become discouraged and quit trying. Don't aggravate them. Like that little video we watched. When your children are called names such as that, tell them who they are. Tell them. Don't be afraid. Yes, encourage your children. Don't discourage them. Someone cuts them down, raise them up. And give them all the love and support they need to find God's will and plan for their lives, the calling that He's placed upon them. Christ-like spirit of souls reign in the home. Everything which is done at home is to attract our children to Jesus. And in turn, they will attract others to Jesus as well. It'll pass on to their friends and their friends. Let me emphasize that what a child sees in everyday demonstration can either be extremely beneficial or terribly destructive. I wonder if I should share it now. Yeah, I'm going to share it now. I know a family that I grew up with. There was two boys in the family. They weren't the best family around. They were quite different. The boys were always in trouble. And of course, they learned a lot of stuff. A lot of the trouble came because their parents were demonstrating it to them. I remember in their teens, they were caught and put in jail for what they did, the crimes, and then their parents bailed them out. And I remember one of them was talking about it. I says, remember, Mom just beat us up for that. I says, for the crimes? No, for getting caught. Can you imagine that? It's just unbelievable. Through demonstration, they learned how to do this stuff, and the mom got mad at them because they got caught. So be careful how we live. I know that's at times that the kids are going to get under your skin, and you're going to blow up once in a while, but remember, allow them to see that, but also allow them to see you asking them forgiveness for what you did. All right? All right? So we need to be careful, mom and dads, that when we demonstrate our lives, that it is for Christ. Third quality, a mother's faith is commendable. We find that in verse 5 again. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith which first dwelt in your mother, grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice. was telling me that the Apostle Paul was really impressed with what he saw in the lives of Lois and Eunice, always commending them, telling them what to do. He points out the lasting influence of mother's faith. Verse 5 says again, "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith." Has it ever occurred to you that the most precious treasure that you can hold and have is what? What is it? Your faith in Jesus Christ. All right? I know our world cries out, what is a person without fame, money, and possessions? But our cry should be, what is a person with faith in Jesus Christ? If you look through the Old Testament, you will actually find women who lived by faith. In fact, in Hebrews 11, we find that Sarah lived by faith. She believed that God would keep his promise, which he did. Rahab obeyed as well, by faith. Did not die with all the others who refused to obey God. So sincere faith was pointed out here by the Apostle Paul. Remember, it's not the quantity of faith, but the quality of faith that is important. A grain of a mustard seed and a pellet of dust are the same size and appearance. But the difference is immense. The one has no life in it, the other contains life. Faith that has in it the principle of life is a faith with God in it. Also, too, there is a living relevance of a mother's faith. I'm just going to read verse 5 again. "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." Times have changed, correct? We can all agree to that. Fashions may have changed. I said that for a reason, because the other day I was looking on a YouTube site and they were selling clothes that I used to wear when I was a teenager. And I'm thinking I should have kept all my stuff, you know. But it's all coming back in a big circle. I never believed it would. But one thing you need to know, everything can change, but our mother's faith never changes. Never. Right? There's a living relevance about a mother's faith. Because no one in all the world adapts herself to the day in which she lives. Especially a mother who's caring for her children. And I think, from watching my mom, it was a difficult calling to raise children. But because Jesus was front and center in her life, she did it. Even if you're a single mom, remember Jesus is with you, watching over and walking with you. And you know what? We can't do it alone. Timothy's mother and many mothers today must realize that their training of their children begins where? In God's Word. I have many people tell me, you know, when children are born, man, they don't come with instructions. And I'm thinking to myself, God has given us his instructions right here. All right? Yes, live in the power of Jesus Christ in your home. Yes, moms, you have a high and holy calling, and do not minimize its importance. See today that you have faith in Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior, he is your Lord. And have faith in his word and know it well, so you can teach it to your children. Refute the stuff they are learning today. We know for sure, and make sure that your faith is certain, it is contagious, and it's commendable. Let's pray, shall we? And Father, I know there's a lot more that we could say today on the faith of our mothers. Father, but I just pray that all of us here today, especially moms, have a personal relationship with you, that they serve you and love you. They demonstrate it in their homes and all that they do. In thy wonderful name, amen.